Welcome to Raising Connections. I'm your host, Rayshan Mayer. This is the program where we talk about your critters, companions, commerce, and agriculture, and all of the connections between them. This morning, as always, we have a fun and interesting guest, Jocelyn Pratt from the Blue Ridge Blood Bank. Welcome, Jocelyn. Can you introduce yourself?
Yes. Again, my name is Jocelyn Pratt. I'm the director of the Blue Ridge Veterinary Blood Bank, and our home site is in Percival, Virginia.
Percival, Virginia. That's our neighbor here in Maryland.
Yes.
From the Frederick Carroll listening area, how far would Percival be?
I would say it's under an hour, probably 45 minutes or so, depending. Okay.
So we're pretty darn close, and you all are quite mobile for the blood bank.
Yes, we are. We have many satellite donation hospitals that we visit on a monthly basis in that area.
So I have to ask this question. How did you end up saying, I want to work at a dog blood bank?
Well, that's a funny story, and I will try to make it a shorter one than what it actually is. My previous history before coming into veterinary medicine was running Burger King restaurants, believe it or not. After I left the restaurant scene, I was hired as a customer service rep at Blue Ridge Veterinary Associates, kind of worked my way up over a few years to, you know, assistant manager of the front desk, and then one day, as I was learning that the Eastern Veterinary Blood Bank visited us on a monthly basis to collect blood donations, I heard tell that they were having some changes, needing to make some pivots, and that we were going to be the new host for the Doggy Blood Bank. After that, it was, hey, do you want to be a part of this? And here you go. Here's a blood bank. Let's figure out how to run it. Let's make it successful. Let's save a lot of lives. And I've been doing that for 15 years.
It's amazing how life just takes you down different paths that you never, ever see coming, isn't it?
Absolutely. I went from making whoppers to saving lives.
Wow. I love it. I love it. What is your job there at the blood bank?
I'm actually the director slash manager of the blood bank. So I oversee the whole operation, our staff, our donation sites that we work with, as well as taking orders from hundreds and thousands of hospitals every year that are in need of blood, all of the supplies, the shipping. I tell everyone I'm a master of styrofoam and UPS. So pretty much anything that falls under how the blood bank operates, I oversee that.
Many of our listeners will be familiar with giving blood at a Red Cross donation site, or perhaps being in a medical emergency or in a hospital situation and requiring blood or blood products to be provided to them. Does it kind of look the same when a dog donates?
Yes and no. With humans, we think of, oh, the local library is hosting a blood drive with the Red Cross. I'll sign up. You go and you donate blood, you get your cookies and your juice, and you may not think about it for a while after that. You may be a regular donor, you may be a once in a while donor. With dogs, because veterinary medicine is very different from human medicine as far as, you know, humans have health insurance and there are all these other pieces that go with it, there is a cost to the blood program to do all of the screenings to make sure that blood is safe to give to recipients. So we look at it more of not a one-time or a once-in-a-while donation. It's a committed program. So we screen the dogs, we check their blood, we check their temperament, and we ask their owners that as long as the dog is agreeable to the process, that we ask them for a commitment of at least a year. We have many dogs that have been in the program for 6, 7, 8 years from the time they were 1 year old until the day they retire from our program. So it's slightly different in the fact that it's a committed program, and that helps us cover the cost of all of that additional testing.
So it's much more involved than what I thought it was. When you look for a dog who's going to be a committed partner in blood donation, what is it that you're looking for in your donors?
So they have to hit a small list of general requirements. As far as age, we look for them to be between 1 and 7 years of age. We ask that they be over 40 pounds so that we can collect enough blood to provide to another dog. So it's either a half pint or a pint donation. They have to have a nice temperament. They don't necessarily have to like other dogs, but they have to be moderately happy to be around people. Food motivated dogs are great. Dogs that have gone through training are great. We have a lot of dogs that are just crazy, knock everything over in the room, but they really settle and they snuggle with us while they're donating blood and they just make great donors. It can be any breed, really, as long as they hit the age and the weight requirement. Overall healthy, happy. Some medications do disclude them from the program. Some don't. Some they just have to forego their next donation if they're put on a certain medication. So those are the basic requirements. Some of these dogs, they will tell you, hey, I'm not really feeling this. I might not like to do this. And some dogs will literally try to jump out of the car when they get in the parking lot, run in, jump on us, you know, ready for treats, jump on the table and lay down and be ready for their blood donation. So really, there's so many different kinds of dogs with different behavior and different attitudes, and some are happy, some are crazy, some are chill, some fall asleep during donation. So it's really a wide group of dogs that we can select from.
That is a heck of a gamut. And 40 pounds is important. Is the requirement of 40 pounds in concert with the bone marrow that makes the red blood cells? Is that why there needs to be a minimum weight requirement?
So usually the weight requirement is based on the percentage of blood that we can safely collect during a donation. There are other blood bank programs that will do 50 pounds or more, and those dogs will consistently give full unit donations. But we like to have a larger availability of units, so we actually do half pint donors. So they need to be at least 40 couple pounds at a good healthy body weight. So we say no 40 pound chihuahuas because that will not work.
That would be an unhealthy chihuahua. Absolutely. Yeah. Help our listeners and help me with what this looks like. When I think of blood donation, my world is human, right? And so I'm thinking of an arm extended and an IV line collecting the sample. What does it look like when a dog is donating blood?
So it's actually much different when a dog donates blood, and each blood bank does it slightly different. There might be a different handling, a different position. What we love about our program and our donor snuggler extraordinaire, Mr. Chris, who's been with us for over a decade, he'll tell you he has the best job. So when people ask me what that donation looks like, we actually spend time with the dog, making sure they're in the right mood for the day, making sure they're healthy, and we actually put them up on a massage table with our donor handler, snuggler, Chris, and he actually spoons them, for lack of a better word. Snuggles, spoons, I don't like using the word restrained because they're not really being restrained. We're just holding them in a place that's safe for them, safe for the process, safe for the phlebotomist, who is also our blood bank doctor, Dr. Latchford. And that gives her the ability to, they have a slight amount of movement. They can get comfortable in the position for the donation. She can give them treats at the same time. And the blood donation is actually done from the jugular vein. It's probably the least sensitive area for us to utilize such a large needle that is included in those blood collection sets, which are also human grade. So the dog is snuggling on a table, donating blood from the jugular vein. It can take anywhere from 3 to 5 minutes or so for them to give, you know, a half or a full unit. And then afterwards, they're happy to jump off, not jump off, but they want to jump off. We place them on the floor. They're ready to get more treats. Some of them will get a little Band-Aid wrap on their neck just because they're so excited. We want to, you know, control their clotting in that donation site. But really, it's an overall pretty happy experience, fun, positive. And we have a lot of dogs that may not have necessarily liked going to the vet's office, that we have made them new dogs. They actually love going to the vet now because they associate the positive experience with the blood bank in going to the veterinary office.
What a positive outcome. I would not have expected that being a blood donor would actually cause a positive experience at the vet's office. I would have actually thought, oh my gosh, my dog couldn't donate blood if they reacted at the vet's office.
And that's not always the case. We listen to them. Our team is really good at looking at their body language, reviewing their history, seeing what they like, what they don't like. And, you know, they really put a lot of time and thought into the dogs that are going to be good blood donors. They can usually tell within a visit or two. And some of those dogs, they make a turn for the good, and they actually don't mind going to the vet.
Interesting. With humans, there are certain diseases or certain conditions that prevent people from donating. Is that the same with dogs? What pops to my mind is Lyme disease.
Actually, Lyme disease is one of the tick-borne illnesses that they can donate if they've had Lyme disease. The easiest way to explain it is Lyme disease lives in the tissues. There are many studies that through the ACVIM, many of the veterinary research groups, that is not an issue with transfusions, Lyme disease. So as long as the donors who've had Lyme disease are not symptomatic and they've been treated and, you know, they tell us, you know, hey, they've had this, they've been treated, they're not symptomatic, they can actually donate. Some of the more nasty tick-borne illnesses, Rocky Mountain spotted fever, anaplasmosis, Ehrlichia, those are all diseases that we actually test for during their annual screening, as well as, you know, a long questionnaire of where they've been, where did they come from, what are they around, and they have to be on flea and tick and heartworm preventative year-round. That does help us mitigate a lot of those issues as well.
Outside of something that they've had or a disease that they've had, an infection they've had, is there anything else that would make a dog not eligible to be a donor?
So the first thing that comes to mind, of course, our main requirement other than the age and the weight is that they have a pretty healthy dog. So really with that question, I try not to put everything in one box. We tend to take it on a case-by-case basis. We talk to our colleagues and our blood bank doctor and our medical director. So if a dog, say, has had heartworms, if it's been a certain number of years and they were treated and they are now healthy, they could potentially be a donor. If a dog has had its spleen removed, that would not make a good donor. So it really varies because we get so many different questions, you know, every month on something that a dog has come across or an illness that they've had or a surgery that they've had. Of course, a dog that's had cancer, there's some discussion around that. What kind of cancer was it? Was it removed? Were there clear margins? So each one of those questions we take as a case-by-case basis to make the safest decision possible. So I can't really put them all in a box, but that's kind of an example.
So interesting and so different than the human world. When we come back, let's talk about the recipients. We've talked a lot about the donors. Let's talk about the recipients. Join me, Raishan Mayer, from Mariah Bell Manor Kennel, for our new adventure, Living Life Tails Up podcast, combining everyday life with what goes on at the kennel and farm, a bit of humor, some ideas, and some positive happy bubbles. We're living tails up, nose down, and staying on track. We hope to see you on Living Life Tails Up for 5 to 10 minutes worth of happy, happy bubbles shooting out there in the atmosphere. See you soon.